I'm Lauren.
I'm Adioti.
And this is Can't Handle It,
where we put it all out there in the lens of two mamas
just trying to make it all work. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Why do I always have to say that twice? I used to do that when I was teaching too, and my students would comment on it.
Because the first time probably doesn't technically register because you're not
awake.
And the second one is the solid one, you know?
Right. That's the one when I really mean it.
Exactly. Oh, just in case. It's to let everybody know where you're at mentally.
Yeah, that's very true. I'm going to go with that. How are you, dear friend?
Doing good. You know, it's not as early as we usually do, but it's
no, but it's dark, well, which is the bummer.
It is, isn't it? Technically, if it wasn't for daylight savings, isn't that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can we just, I feel like every year I get so worked up about this. I'm so done with daylight savings. I want it to go away so badly.
I mean, especially since it was put, right? Wasn't it put on the ballot? We all voted. We don't want it.
Yes, and we voted to do away with it.
And then next I hear it's, oh, that was just a survey.
Right.
See what people would want. I'm like, okay.
Right. Because overwhelmingly it passed.
Right. Right. And then
they were like, oh, just kidding. Super cool.
Unnecessary, but.
It gave us false hope.
I will say, I guess I have so much going on that it's not registering for me.
Yeah.
Only once in a while. I'm like, things are what they were anyway. Like we are going through, you know, all kinds of like, sleep progressions and things over here. So things were going to be what they're going to be.
Doesn't make a huge difference. See, Blair uses it against us and has been saying, because it's staying light later, which I love.
That's
when
great.
It's dark, I like in the mornings, it's different because I think, you know, like that works in your brain. It's like, oh, I'm up, but the sun's not yet. That's fine. But once the sun goes down, like I really do have zero energy. And so I love that it's lighter later because I feel like I'm awake. But she literally will say that this week, all this week it was, but it's not dark outside. So it's not night time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I was like, so I literally every night have been explaining, like, there's this thing called daylight savings.
I mean, she's not wrong.
But it's
blackout curtains in baby girl's room. And, and so in the morning, our problem, like, especially on the weekends, because during the week, you've got to get up, we've got to go. But on the weekend, you know, she'll say, oh, it's dark out. It's night time. I'm like, no, you need to get up because she needs her sleep. You know, she needs her beauty sleep, which is, I appreciate it. But I'm also like up and out.
I'm
like,
we got to go.
The day is young. Let's go get them, you know.
Right.
So.
That's so funny. Yeah, well, B is out there, even though we're recording early. She's already up and at him and shrieking out there with Andrew. Last night, she's been doing this thing where, like, at the end of the week, she's so wiped that typically Friday nights have just been the night of 1,000 meltdowns. And I was trying to think of a nice way to put that. And this Friday, Andrew decided to take a day off. He's been super busy and he's had all these like late afternoon work meetings on the other side of town. And so by the time he's been getting home, she really hasn't been seeing much of him. And they'd been feeling that. And so really great. He took the day. And so they got to play like all afternoon after school. But it like re-energized her so that normally Fridays she goes to bed a lot earlier than the other nights of the week because she's tapped. Friday, we had a false start. We had to come back out because she was like, I'm not tired.
That's daddy.
We had to come out. It just threw off the whole routine. And so then last night she literally fell asleep at like, she was like clothes dozing off on the couch at like 5. And I was like, oh, this is great. And so we tried to wake her up, tried to do the whole thing. She wasn't having it. We took her to bed and she was literally in bed, lights out, even though it's still light in her room because of daylight saving at 5:30.
Yeah.
So we'll see what this sets up the week with, you know.
Wait, she went to sleep?
Oh yeah, she went to sleep at 5:30. She rolled around a couple times. I had to go in there and settle her down a couple times, but no, I'm just like, oh, this is gonna be fun.
5:30? No. If we're going out at 5:30, we are waking up at about 7:30.
Andrew was like, I don't remember how he said it, but we were trying to figure out what to do. He was like, well, I mean, we could move her and just hope that she sleeps for 13 hours. Yeah. In what world? Oh my God.
Right.
Anyways, I digress. Should we do cans and cans and then dive in this episode? Guys, buckle up. I have been waiting for this one.
You have.
I have a lot of thoughts.
All right, cans and cans.
Yeah. Do you want me to start?
Go for it.
Okay, so I think I told you this was going to be, I rarely normally have to like really think about this, but I had one locked and loaded. Have you seen, well, I know you have because of talking about it, but to those of you listening, if you did not see the drop of the Free People shorty shorts, do yourself a favor. Go to their Instagram profile, go to the post, read the comments. It will make your entire day.
There have been a bunch of influencers who have actually, if, I guess now like viral, and they're actually trying them on for people. Influencers of all shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, universally a terrible idea.
Hysterical. It is hysterical. And if you guys don't know what we're talking about, these shorts that they came out with basically look like high-waisted undies. Like they're they are very they're not leaving a lot to the imagination, I'll put it that way. And so I was seeing some of those videos you were talking about where people were trying, moms were trying them on, and just the things they were saying were hilarious, because it's like, what is happening here? Like, how is this even supposed to work? And so on my Instagram stories, my aunt is that these shorts exist and are a thing. My can was living for the comments. And usually comment sections of posts are like historically very negative and like a toxic place to go. This was like women empowerment, community building. Like people were making friends in these comments. They were killing me. Some of the ones I reposted some of my favorites that I found. I didn't scroll through all of them, obviously, but some of my favorites said, "What in the labia hammock is this?"
Oh dear. Oh dear.
One said,
"Not the labia hammock."
Can I say good morning really quick? Hi, honey. Do you want to sit on my lap? This is a really appropriate time for her to join us. You want to say good morning? Say hi, Miss Annie.
Boo-boo.
Yeah. Oh, little blur kids. Oh.
Yes. Hi, little love.
How are you?
Good morning.
Good. Did you sleep good? Yeah. Are you going to have some breakfast out there with Daddy? Maybe in a few minutes. Do you want to just sit on my lap? Okay. I have to talk, so you can sit here and just hang out. Okay. Well, this is great that she's joining us for this. Another one said, there isn't enough monostat in the world for these shorts to exist.
Like,
chaps for your flaps.
Oh, my Leota.
Then the OBs started weighing in. OBGYN here. Looks like I'll be double booked a few weeks after these dark denims have sold out. Hashtag not enough diflucan. That must be a treatment of some sort.
Yeah. Oh,
if you look closely enough, you can see her ovary release an egg. It was amazing. And these two were side by side. And so I thought that that was hilarious. If you wear these to my house, I'm disinfecting where you sat.
Oh, I see.
The one underneath it said, I want to talk to customer cervix about this one.
The internet is clever.
I love a pun. So anyways, my can't was that these shorts are a thing. My can is I just loved how all the ladies were coming together to talk about how ridiculous they were in the comments.
Like, who designed those? Like, I want to talk to the designer. Like, what were you thinking?
Oh my God.
What so were you thinking? Is it just like so a funny thing where maybe they release funny things every once in a while where they see, you know, they can kind of like make a mockery out of everyone. It's just their amusement. Like, they know it's ridiculous.
I've said that. When you're walking through a store and you're like, did someone just say, how many people can I get to buy this thing that looks, you know, that insane?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, so funny. Anyways, what's yours?
My can't is what is my can't?
My name is B-O-N-E-Y.
Did you hear that? She's spelling her name. Say it into the microphone.
B-L-A-I-R.
Blair. Hi, Booger. Hello.
Still love it.
Good morning. what is it called? What is my can't? My can't is I don't even really have any can'ts.
You want to talk to her? What else would you like to say?
There's no school today.
Is there school tomorrow?
She asked.
Yes.
Yes. Are you excited to go?
She said, are you excited to go? Yeah.
Yeah. You love school, huh?
Do you love school?
Yeah. Is it Monday? Yeah.
It's Monday tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Muffin. I think it's time for you to go have some breakfast and hang out with Daddy, okay? Here, take this. I love you.
I love your pencil.
Can you have one of my pencils? Yes, you can take this one. But use it on the paper.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. Have fun. See you later. Take it with you. Anyways, sorry, your can't.
Maybe communication and how it's so hard for some people sometimes. So it's like, life doesn't have to be that complicated. It really doesn't.
It does not.
And my can is, I'm actually a great communicator. So great. You know, cool. Temporary frustrations because.
It's a real thing.
For sure.
It's a real
thing.
For
sure.
I feel like we were not taught, like, I wish the irony of the fact that quote unquote communications, like in college, is all about, hey, B, you're welcome to sit in here, but I got to talk to Miss Adioti.
Yesterday, you two had Tossie at the Tossie shop, and I knew take this with you and talk to each other.
Did you get all that?
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, Blair.
Oh my gosh. No, that's mommy's. Okay, B, it's time for you to go hang out with Daddy. You want to take this with you? Do you want to take this then?
Little talkers.
Go do some drawings, okay? Tell him to get you your paper. Okay, have fun. yes, I think I wish that there was a focus, like the fact that those classes are all about basically just how to deliver a speech. At least that's what it was for me. Like, how helpful would it have been to have like a mix of some psychology in there to learn how to effectively communicate orally and in written word what it is that you mean?
Listen, it should be a mandatory class in high school. Forget college.
The things we have to take. When have I ever used the Pythagorean theorem? When have I needed to use that? But we communicate all day, every day.
Listen, forget high school. It should be far young. I mean, we should start young. Start young. Why does it have to be so complicated? And the starting young includes modeling. So if you're listening and you're a terrible communicator and you're a child, please learn for their sake.
Right. And that actually segues very nicely into, I'm just crushing it with these lately, very nicely into talking about our topic today. So I think we've kind of teased a little bit, or I, at least I've talked about that I've been reading this book and you've been reading it. It's called Mothers, Daughters, and Body Image, Learning to Love Ourselves as We Are. And it's by a woman named Hillary McBride. And so today is book club day. It is episode one of two, because this book is a heavy hitter. And so we decided we're going to divide it up because there's so much information that's important. We couldn't possibly just fit it into one episode. It would be way too long.
Exactly.
We have a lot of thoughts about this. Oh, I hear some tears. So anyways, I have mentioned, obviously, can you guys hear that? Can you hear that? Okay, good. Just making sure. Morning feelings, everybody. There's this whole, obviously, movement right now about body positivity, and I'm so here for it, and I'm trying to lean as hard into that as I can. I think especially given the fact that we grew up when we did, just every bit of messaging we received was that our bodies were our currency, basically, and that they were never going to be enough. We were comparing ourselves to these ridiculous ideals that were never actually realistic for any of us. And yet that was just what was modeled, what was expected. And so now it's about undoing all of that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's, this book is definitely one for everyone, I would say, even if you didn't have, you know, body confidence issues, or, you know, it's for everyone. There's something in there for everyone.
Yeah. I think this one is probably one of, if not the most important book I feel like I've ever read. Like, as a mom, as a, you know, a woman, it hits on so many things. And obviously body image is the main theme, but it's so much more about, like, the surprising thing I found in this book is it's so much more about identity in general as a woman and figuring out how to raise girls that know who they are and feel confident in that, and separating the two, separating the fact that, you know, what you look like is not who you are.
Exactly.
All right. So let's go ahead. Should we just kind of dive in? I have a bunch of pages earmarked and a lot of notes. The English teacher in me lives for annotating a text. So here we are. So what she identifies kind of as the problem, and I guess I should preface this by saying a little bit about her. So Hillary McBride is a psychologist, and she's a researcher. She's written several other books, all of which I have ordered after reading this. She has a new one coming out, I think, later this year or beginning of next year, that she's starting to promote now. And she, when she was growing up, I guess we should probably give a little trigger warning for some of this. This whole episode is a giant trigger warning. Bless you. Yeah. So just be aware. But she suffered from an eating disorder to the extent that she almost died. Like, she almost didn't make it because she was so, so sick. And she finally, in one program that she was checked into, got paired up with a woman that really changed her life and made her think of everything very differently. And she became kind of obsessed with trying to figure out what causes girls to grow up into women that feel the need to punish themselves for these things that are so far out of their control in many senses. And so anyway, the problem that she highlights, I have it noted. I'm just going to read straight from the text here. She says, "We live in the age of simple solutions. People want quick fixes and simple palliatives, life advice in 140 characters or less. We want our weight loss advice to be easy and prescriptive. Eat this, not that. One size fits all advice. We want to teach girls to be comfortable with their body image against the backdrop of a photoshopped world, the worship of the ectomorphic and their mother's own weight and body fears. But each and every one of us is born into a different family, bringing different stories that shape us and different body types, and that subsequently shape the worlds of our children." She highlights so beautifully throughout the entire text, the tension that women live in. And it's not to say that little boys don't have their fair share of societal pressures and influences. Of course they do. She, of course, being a woman, is specifically talking about the issue of being a woman. And the fact that I feel like she describes it so well by saying, we're trying to teach girls to be comfortable in their own bodies against the backdrop of a Photoshopped world. Like, we are comparing ourselves and other women and our daughters and our friends to photos of models in magazines that, hello, the models don't look like they do in the magazines because they're so freaking Photoshopped. It's out of control. And on top of that, she talks about it in one of the later chapters, even just the issue of aging and how a lot of times if someone is meant to look a lot younger in, let's say, in a spread in a magazine, typically it's going to be someone that's a little bit older that they're trying to make them look really young. And then it's the opposite way when they're trying to make someone look really like sophisticated and like an ideal. It's like a 13-year-old girl, and you don't know that when you're looking at it. And so it just sets us up for these completely unrealistic versions of what quote unquote beauty is.
Right. And it's interesting too, you know, as I kind of went through, I kind of have a different lens because it's all, there's a cultural element to that. Yes. Right. So it's beauty here in this culture. Right.
Right.
Like,
she does talk about that at some point. I can't remember. Yeah.
Which is definitely a different dynamic. Entirely right. Battling that. Like, how do you compare, you know, how do you, living in this culture, how do you navigate with that? You know, how do you navigate between the two? Like, what's beautiful here? Is it beautiful there? And, you know, I mean, for me generally, it's always been different. And I'm only now in my, you know, adult years, recognizing and appreciating that. But it wasn't the case, you know, being younger. So.
Well, and I can only hope that, you know, she kind of poses, what are you doing with your hand? She kind of poses this notion of creating a ladder, like holding a ladder up and helping your daughter climb this ladder with the tools and resources that you have to help her reach new heights. And then it continues and continues.
Go ahead. Well, just about the ladder, she was mentioning too, one thing that I thought was interesting. She said, well, and then your daughters, you know, and then the whole part where, you know, some daughters will reach down and help their mothers up the ladder, up that ladder.
I thought that was so powerful.
Right.
She described that. Yeah. It's this beautiful, like, reciprocal thing. And something she talks about probably in every single chapter is that exact notion that it's the modeling. And that it's one thing to, which is great. And I think everyone does, I really truly believe everyone does the best they can with the tools and resources that they have. And what you don't know, you don't know. And we have a lot of, even just these discussions weren't a thing when we were growing up.
Right.
Very good. Like, that wasn't what was happening.
Yeah.
And so my hope is that when our girls are older, that they will, a lot of what she writes about in terms of what she hopes can be a potential reality, my hope is that it is. But it starts with us. These are my headphones. This is how I hear Ms. Adeoti talk.
I think, you know, one of the things that she, you know, mentions is, you know, sometimes you unknowingly set these body, you know, image issues up for your children, or your mothers have unknowingly set them up for you when you carry that on. And with all of that, it's more about the realization that, you know, that has happened, because obviously you can't go back and change the past. But with the realization that has happened, you can go forward and do better, right? And you can hope your child can do better with whatever tools. But I think one of the, so actually, did we mention that the story, the chapters are broken down by stories between, you know, mother, daughter.
Yeah, she selected a set of, it's pairings of moms and daughters.
Right.
And she, which is so, so cool because she, in the research that she did and all the interviewing that she does with them, she talks about the similarities and the discrepancies between the stories.
Right.
We ask them a lot of the same questions about a lot of the same events and memories. And then she's able to sift through and see where things were different or where they were the same.
Right. And in some of those cases, I guess just the questions kind of gave that realization like, oh.
Right.
I was contributing to a negative.
Right.
You know, a negative thing with my daughter. But.
And I will say something that she talks about that because I feel like it can, again, triggering, right? Because even whether you're reading this as a mom or just as a woman, as a friend, you know, so when you think about the things that you've said and done that did contribute possibly to someone having a negative image of themselves, it's really, really hard to conceptualize that, wrap your head around it, especially when almost every single time that wasn't the intent.
Right.
And she talks about that, like no one is perfect. No one is perfect. And the goal that she sets up is not, there is no version of perfect and there's no version of being a perfect mom or setting up your daughter in a perfect way. It's just doing the best you can and maybe doing better than what you experienced. Right. Like that's all it is.
And that you don't have to be perfect to change things. Right.
Right.
She says like you can be going through your own you know, issues with your body and trying to, you know, come to a better place with that and help and know that that's happening and do better for your child and help your child to avoid dealing with those same pitfalls. Like you can be healing yourself while also, you know, teaching your daughters how to view their bodies more positively.
Yeah. It's not like one has to come first.
Exactly. One does not have to come first. They can happen together. And, oh, and she was, you know, one thing about like shame, she said, well, shame about ourselves can be, ourselves can be contagious, which is a very interesting one. And that doesn't apply to just, you know, as you were kind of alluding to, it doesn't apply to just mothers and daughters. It applies to friends. It applies to anybody that you interact with. So if you're constantly putting out there, you know, these negative, you know, this negativity about your body, that's contagious to the people around you. So you're not just affecting yourself. And that's when we think about community, right? And putting out into the community what we want, think about it that way too. You don't want like your community feeling that toxic. And so, yeah, that was a good, that was another great thing to remember. It's like, oh yeah, like it's not just me like talking about my jelly rolls. That's not helpful to anyone.
Yeah. Well, and she if also talks about
go ahead. No, I was just saying if I'm gonna reflect about that, like I can, you know, I went to an all girls high school and like all girls Catholic high school. Which we had. It was very diverse. Well, that's a long phrase. Yeah, exactly. But we had, if I'm going to think about like how, you know, some girls would talk about their bodies or whatever, it was all over the place. But
yeah,
that was, if you think about it, like one girl talking about her body this way and that way, definitely makes you reflect and think, okay, well, what's wrong with mine? Because clearly that's something you're trying to change. So yeah. If you think about it at context, it goes back.
No, she talks about that at one point. Just that we, and breaking down the science of it, this is something else she does that I really appreciate as like a very logical, linear thinker.
Right.
She breaks down the science behind why a lot of things happen. And in terms of us as women, she talks it, and I've never thought about this before. Maybe other, I'm sure other people have, but she talks about how we as women, we are relational beings,
mm-hmm.
and that we define ourselves
right.
by the relationships that we have with others. And we find our worth and our identity in yeah. the relationships that we have. And it's more, not that this is a completely black and white subject, right? But it's like, more often than not, women identify themselves based so much more on how other people see them.
Right.
Or what other people need from them than men do. Men get to be who they are as a mm-hmm. soul entity. And yeah. we are more so. So in terms of what you were saying about like teenage girls, right? This is where it's such a slippery slope, because not only does it encourage other people to think about what they might be a little insecure about, but mm-hmm. there's a banding together, and there's a I can't remember exactly how she says it, but she talks about how that oftentimes, especially in adolescence, women and young girls bond mm-hmm. over
exactly.
things that they don't like about themselves.
Yeah.
And that is just like, I mean, I know that that happens, but to see it and read it and think about it really casts a different light on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely true. I think we can probably all go through and think about some things. Like, one example beyond high school then was, I went back. I try to go back to think about, times where that might have been a thing. And I can remember, like, and this always stuck up. There was a girl this is elementary school.
Uh-huh.
Her mom would dye her hair blonde.
Oh no, seriously?
This is elementary school. It wasn't stopping them. They thought it was great.
But the message that communicates.
Exactly. The message that communicates is definitely, and again, like, I think that they were doing what they were doing, and they didn't think anything of it. And I'm not sure if today they think anything of it, because there's that societal view of, blonde hair is the bee's knees. So, that was nothing to them. But then when we think about how that touches everyone around, right? Like, I'm not blonde.
Right.
I'm never going to be blonde.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could slap on a wig, with some blonde highlights any day, anytime. But however, that's not, like, that's yeah. as a child, because now obviously I'm an adult, but as a child, that's a difficult thing to be around. That's toxic, mm-hmm.
100%. And it's not, I think for me at least, I don't know if you felt this way listening and reading, but like, it can feel really overwhelming.
Yeah.
Because then it sinks in that everything and anything that you're saying and doing,
right,
even about your body, mm-hmm. is being absorbed
exactly.
by everyone around you. And right. what you're telling your kids, mm-hmm. if you're saying those things or doing those things in front of their friends,
right.
they're experiencing something with that. It's the trickle-down effect.
Right. It goes as far as like talking about, ooh, if I eat that cookie, I'm going to get, like, she's always, I can't remember the exact one, but if I eat this, I'm going to get,
Exactly. The F word.
Yeah, the F word, exactly. things like that, or like, oh, I need to go on a diet. Or I think we touched about this in a different episode where we're more conscious about saying that we're moving our body as opposed to working mm-hmm. out, right? Because it's not working out or, getting
yeah.
fit or, right. or moving your body or taking care of your health is not a work. It's a privilege to be able to
right.
do it. And it's, we're meant to take care of these bodies that we have and not to feel like it is work. So, we're constantly putting that out there to these kiddos that mm-hmm. it's something, it's not like a natural thing. It's something that has to be right. sought after, and you have to have this program to lose this much weight and do this, that, and the other. And you've got to weigh yourself after, and you've got to, kill yourself on the treadmill to, it's an endless cycle that if you don't stop and smell the roses, just continues.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, we're only in control of so much. Like at the end right. of the day, like right. anything else, we can control the things we say and do. We can control what happens in our homes. But a lot of this stuff, one thing that I wanted to touch on that you brought up, kind of circling back to that, is that beauty is so relative. Mm-hmm. Like she talks about how depending on culture, depending on the family you grew up with, depending on where you live, depending on all these other things, beauty and the ideal means something so different. And so it is really frustrating when you think about it that way, that right. still we have these impossible standards and mm-hmm. expectations of ourselves and others, because it's like, it doesn't even like, there is no one definition of what beautiful is.
Right. There isn't.
And yeah, we apparently think there is.
Or it's forced onto us, mm-hmm. you know,
right,
with anything.
That more
and it's worse nowadays with, I think this book was written in what, 2018? Mm-hmm. So yeah, social media and everything existed and has, but it's like, even today, it's way, you know, more intense. So like when we were growing up, it's, you know, we see the television and maybe like a Teen Beat or Teen Bop, whatever those things were called. You might see those magazines, but it's so much more in your face now. And it's scary what our girls will have to, you know, deal with.
Yeah. Well, and she talks about that like this is why it's even more important that you, and this, I want to just say none of this, I don't want anything that we're sharing about our thoughts or this book. None of this is casting judgment on
record.
How you have been doing the things or what you do or what you say. Like, I know for me, when I read this book, and I'm a person that I am actively working on this stuff, you know, like right. I am hyper aware. And there were still a lot of things that came up for me where I was like, ooh, I need to be careful about that. You right. know, like right. I need to be, but again, you don't know what you don't know. So maybe some of this can just kind of be reflection for you. But the idea of controlling the narrative within your home, she talks about how even though we can't control what's going on out there, there can be this tendency then to feel like, well, at home, we're going to treat this like a bubble and it's going to be so different. And we're going to try to protect you from anything and everything that we can.
Right.
That can be kind of detrimental too, because you're not, mm-hmm. it's about creating, I can't remember how she described it, but basically like, it's about creating home as a safe place where girls, boys, everybody, right?
Right.
Can truly just be who they are, knowing mm-hmm. that when they go out there into the world, when they go to school, when they're with their friends, when they go to a football game, whatever, mm-hmm. they're going to hear things and see things that are not representative of our values. And that yep. doesn't mean that they're not going to experience it. But it means that they can hopefully look at it with a critical lens and be aware enough of it to come home and say, wow, this is what I noticed. And that's what I noticed. And, you know, here we are.
Right.
So that you can open that dialogue with them and they can be aware of it.
Right.
So that they don't internalize it.
Yeah. I mean, I've said it, you know, I feel like I've said it to you. Like for me, having grown up with my, you know, experiences in the outside world, because yeah. I would say my mom was definitely a body positivity advocate. You know, she mm-hmm. was constantly telling me to love your body, and your body is different. You're this and you're that. You're not like these people. You need to, like, you know, love your body. You're beautiful.
Yeah.
She was great with that. But I didn't, obviously, as a child, I'm like, what are you talking about? Because I would go to school and have these experiences with these friends who were nothing like me. And feel as though my body didn't live up because of that. And so for that reason, it's like, for me, my experiences, my less than great experiences right. are guiding me in how I want to raise my daughter.
100%.
I don't want her to go through those same things. Now,
right.
it's not to say that I'm projecting anything on her, but it's just to, I guess, equip her with the tools she might need when inevitably the world decides to tell her that she's not enough.
Right.
So that she knows to say, oh, no, 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 thank you. I already know who I am.
Exactly.
I know my worth. I am stable in that. And you can say what you want to say and have it roll off her back. That's my goal. That is right. that I will feel as though I succeeded if I can do that for her.
Totally. Yeah, it has to be it's where those things meet, right? It's not pretending like those things don't happen and those things aren't said and that they don't exist.
Right.
It's about recognizing them, talking about it, showing them, right? Mm-hmm. Something that she says that struck me about this, she talks about she uses the word hollow, which I think is so, obviously, I'm an English teacher, guys. I care about these words mean a lot to me. And she talks about how it's so interesting that as young women, one of the pairs, the mom and daughter pairs that she was interviewing, one of the young women said, I think I sexualized my body. She's talking about when she was a teenager. Mm-hmm. It garnered me the attention that I felt I needed to gain approval. I remember wanting my body to be seen as sexy so that I felt like I was okay. But then she talks about how she, on the flip side of that, when she started behaving a certain way, she didn't appreciate the objectification that came along with that. She wanted the attention. And I feel like we see this, and we probably have done this ourselves time and time again growing up, where you want the attention, but unfortunately, because of the way our society is set up, that then becomes an open invitation.
Right.
And it's not that that's necessarily what you're going for, but the problem is as a young person, you cannot articulate that. You do not understand why you're feeling like, wait, but I thought it was this thing and it's not. It's so complex and nuanced that unless someone is talking to you about it,
right,
you are not going to make sense of that. And you're going to draw your own conclusions, which almost every time are going to be negative, right?
Right.
And so Hillary says, let's see, she talks about in terms of that hollowness. She says, as Kelsey learned, Kelsey is the woman, the name she gave the woman she was interviewing, excuse me. She says, the hollowness of using our bodies in this way continues to trap us, leaving us feeling like we must relentlessly pursue appearance and bodily perfection if we want to keep our enoughness. It keeps us from seeing that we have so much more to experience in life and offer each other than ceaselessly chasing a carrot strung by a society that is scared of our greatness as women and will never satisfy us if ever caught. Like, drop the mic.
Drop the mic. Because society is 1,000% scared of, you know, greatness. And thinking about the times we're living in today, for sure, it's an attack on women. I promise you, it is an attack on women. And
we haven't, I don't even think we've talked about that.
No,
but
exactly.
No, I mean, the fact that here we are, it's 2024, and we are having laws that have protected our choices and our bodies revoked.
Yeah.
That they were fought for and fought for and fought for. And now they're being taken away. Like, not only was it the fact that we had to fight for it, but now we had it for a minute and now it's being taken away.
For no reason other than what? Like, oh, you sense the power that women have? Like, to what? Overthrow your bullshit? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, come on. You 100%. Know, this is absolutely ridiculous. But one other thing I wanted to, you know, touch on. And this was like, even from the beginning of the book, this all starts very young, right? When we tell, when girls are allowed to, you know, run around with your shirt off, but then like turn like 6 or whatever. I can't remember what age she said, but then you've got to like put your shirt back on and you can't do this or that because this man is looking or that
because
man
of everyone
is
else. Creepy.
Exactly. Because of everyone else. And you, and we rob or rob, we take that innocence away, right? Now you, now it's up to you to do something to prevent somebody else from doing something at 5 or whatever the age, you know, and it's so true. And that was one thing where I'm like, oh yeah, that is something that I, you know, would say, you know, hey, don't
lift up your shirt.
Exactly.
Don't lift up your dress.
Because I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to protect you from the outside world, which is, you know, a mixed bag. And in doing that, you're taking away that, you're taking away that the freedom.
Yeah.
Right. Just like live in your body, as it is.
Right.
And everything's so hypersexualized, right?
Everything.
Yeah. I mean,
it's out of control.
It definitely is. It definitely is.
And again, there's no way of, like, something I really, really appreciated about reading this as a whole is there is a complete acknowledgement of, like, there is never going to be a time where you or your daughter or your friends are not going to encounter this stuff, no matter mm-hmm. how aware or careful you are in your home with what you've got.
Exactly.
But it's, again, it's about drawing, it's about actually, like, verbally in front of your friends, in front of your kids, having this dialogue and saying, isn't that ridiculous? Like, she talks about one of the suggestions that she makes really early on. She talks about co-viewing and mediating. Mm-hmm. And she, like, basically how, especially when it comes to media, any kind of media, TV, movies, music, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
How the power it has when you, as the adult, as the authority, when you pause that show that is having a scene that's really over-sexualizing a woman or something, and pausing it and saying, hey, what do you think about the fact that these women are being portrayed this way? What do you think about this? Having that conversation is so, it does so much more than what we realize, but it's not something we are taught to do.
It does so much more than we realize, and it as opposed to sweeping it, like letting it happen, right? Like, as opposed to,
it teaches
to,
them to be critical.
Right. And some of the time we're worried about, oh, I don't want to show them this, or I want to hide this from them so they don't see it and they don't know it. But
right,
as opposed to doing that, like, expose, it's okay to expose them to it, but to be proactive and, like you say, stop and talk about it.
Yeah. Because you know that at some point,
they're going to be
at a friend's house. They're going to be at school. They're going to be at soccer practice. Someone's going to say something about it, or they're going to see something, especially now that every other kid has an iPad or their own cell phone or whatever at really early ages. Like, we were the last generation, I feel like, that didn't have immediate access to all of that. And so it was a lot easier to protect us from certain things.
Right.
But now kids are carrying these things around. I mean, you know, it's just, it starts so young. And so we have to teach them how to, and she talks about being two things, being aware of this and being critical mm-hmm. of it, and teaching mm-hmm. our kids to do that
right.
so that when they see it, they don't immediately internalize a negative message about themselves, but instead they can see, oh, that's really different. And that's, I'm going to question that.
Right.
But we, and this touches on one other thing she brings up, like, in, like, the second chapter or something, which I think is great. She talks about the issue of the good girl. Yeah, I feel like we could do a whole episode just even on that. But the reason this plays such a role in terms of the media's influence and us growing up as women in the time that we did is because she actually, I'm just going to read what she said. She said, we've learned that as a woman, it's best to be quiet, to be sweet, small, and compliant, and to keep working on the quote unquote project of our bodies to make mm-hmm. them look more and more desirable. And then she goes on to share some of hers. She says, even though I've made peace with my story and the road it took to get where I am now, there are still a few things I can't and refuse to let go of. As women, rarely do we know what it looks, feels, or sounds like to ourselves as we are. I've worked hard to piece together stories and relationships in my own life that have helped me have something, a vision, a narrative of what it means to be a woman in this world. I've met several women and am blessed to have deep friendships with women who love their bodies and themselves as they are. They are the proof of victory, the beacon of hope for myself and for other women, but their experiences aren't the normal experiences for most women. In fact, whenever I talk about women loving their bodies, most teen and adult women say that's not possible or that's not the whole truth. Mm-hmm. And so this is where what's been ingrained in us via society, thank you so much, is that as women, because we're more desirable and we're more valued if we are quiet, if we are compliant, if we don't ask questions,
mm-hmm.
we are taught then to take in everything we're seeing, everything we're hearing as gospel. We are taught to just believe it all because we're not given that push or that authority to ask those questions and be a little critical. One thing my mom always said that I plan to do this with B, and I really appreciated her for this, even more so now. She used to always tell me, you can question authority as long as you do it respectfully. And so in class, there were several times where I was a great student. I was a good kid. I did all the quote unquote good things, but there were a few times in certain classes growing up where I did ask hard questions that warranted a call home, simply because it wasn't that I was being disrespectful. It wasn't that I was being rude. I wasn't, you know, I was simply asking for clarification on certain things that made my teachers uncomfortable. And that right there shows you the discrepancy, right? And I also fully believe, I'm not a man hater, obviously, but like, if I were a boy asking those questions in those high school classes, I can almost guarantee, as speaking as a teacher, I can almost guarantee none of those phone calls would have been made, and I would have in class been praised for mm-hmm. thinking outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
But because I'm a woman and because I was a young lady, it wasn't appropriate.
Exactly. I mean, it's set up that way. I mean, our educational institutions, I mean, you have to start, once you start peeling some of this back, it's like, oh, okay, this is on purpose. This is,
oh yeah,
this is by design.
Well, and that's why, given current circumstances with what's happening politically right now, what's so scary is, I feel like even in the last year, right, so many people were saying that, you know, if you were speaking, I was one of them speaking up against, well, if you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile. Like if any of this starts going backwards, like I'm thinking specifically kind of the start of it all was Roe v. Wade, right? Being just abolished, like it just all of it.
Mm-hmm.
When that happened, it's like, well, yeah, then it's no surprise that now all these other things, this is now the trickle down effect. Like Roe v. Wade was just the tip of the iceberg, and now they're going for the rest.
Right. And that was, again, all by design. There's a plan.
Right.
You know, there's a plan.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Just enacting that plan. So, you know, while we're all watching and they're dangling carrots in the corner over here to, you know, have us distracted from what's actually going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's, it'll be interesting to see where we end up here. And how we navigate, given, you know, everything that's going on, how we navigate with our children. You know, what is this world that's going to exist for them? What's that going to look like? And how are we going to help them?
Well, that's why I think it's even more important to have these conversations, because mm-hmm. no one, I think something that generationally, and she kind of talks about this, like, it's not like we can blame all the women that came before us for any issues that we have. It's, again, we all do the best we can with the resources we have at the time. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like, my hope is that more women start taking radical responsibility for teaching mm-hmm. their daughters and for learning, like you said, learning this as you go,
mm-hmm.
because the messaging is taking a backwards turn, which is terrifying to me. And I hope that it doesn't continue that way, but even more reason why we have to drive this stuff home.
Right. And you know what that also is going to require? It's going to require women being for women. Us being for each other. Because if you have a segment of women that isn't about it, right? Yeah. And continues to down this slippery slope and support all of this stuff, then how do we ever get any, right? We need to support each other mm-hmm. Through all of this.
Right. You know? Right. No, it's wild to me. Yeah, it's wild. Something my therapist said to me that I felt like was really helpful and might be helpful for others out there, which it kind of is similar to what you were saying about how it's not like you have to have all the answers before you start implementing mm-hmm. these things and doing mm-hmm. or thinking about them and maybe having some conversations. He put it for me being a teacher. He said, it's like you're teaching a new class and you're 3 days ahead of where the class is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to know all of the things to still make a positive impact on it.
Right. That's exactly it. Another thing I have in my notes right here, it's like, which accounts need to be filled up? So
I'm on that page. You're the same person. I'm literally, I have that page open in my book.
like just
take it away.
Which accounts need to be filled? And that, and you know, what she means by that is, you know, if we're constantly like praising our daughters for, you're saying, oh, you look pretty, only on days where, you know, their hair isn't disheveled or whatever, or their clothes aren't all together, then you're inadvertently contributing to this notion to them that, that they're only pretty
when
on those perfect days. Right. Exactly. Like, right. And that's something that, you know, a lot of us probably do without realizing it. But you need to fill, and it's not just filling, you know, those spaces about beauty, right? It's like, mm-hmm. you know, you're smart, right? You are enough, like all of those, things as well. Right. They need to hear that. And there are going to be things that they don't even realize they need to hear that they need.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a good one.
Yeah, it's a great analogy. Yeah, the idea of having like several different investment accounts and needing to make sure you're putting, you know, deposits into all of them instead of just every once in a while in the same one. And I think to what you were saying, her line was, there are other accounts that matter too, like her creativity, independence, and compassion accounts, like not just focusing solely on complimenting how we look. And that is something that I know many of us are actively working against right now and trying to not fix, but make better. But it's, you know, it's just something really great to keep in mind that it's important that we're doing that regularly. She also said that is one of the, she acknowledges that's one of the most difficult parts is figuring out which accounts your daughter needs you to fill up. And she says she probably needs to hear things from you sometimes that you never knew she struggled with, like you said. And it's just, it's all really hard and uncomfortable, and it can feel overwhelming. I know it makes me feel overwhelmed sometimes, but I think the more we can just try to notice something different every now and then about something your kid did, or, you know, looking at an art project they brought home that makes no sense to you, but saying, I can tell you worked really, really hard on that, right?
Exactly.
Like it can be simple, but it adds up.
Yeah, 100%.
Up over time.
Those are important things to do, you know? Like, things don't have to be perfect before you are, you know, acknowledging.
Right. Yeah, she also mentions the consistency piece, which I think is important. Consistency in all things, right? Like, if you're not consistent, then you're not going to build the habit or get rid of the habit or whatever it is you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. But she said, in the grand scheme of things, the daughters, she's talking about the research that she did, the daughters felt like their mothers were so consistent and affirming in how they spoke to them about their beauty that when anything else or different was said, they were able to pick it out right away. They were able to think about messages instead of just blindly accepting them to be true. And I think, yeah, if we are able to work on telling ourselves and our daughters who they are and who we are regularly, that becomes so ingrained that it's just part of you. And it's so much easier to tune out the noise. And she goes on to talk about safety and affirmation and attachment theories. And, you know, it just goes on and on. And mother, it really does. She talks about how mothers and daughters, they're such a specific relationship. And She is not claiming that mothers and sons do not have this relationship. Right. She is simply speaking from her experience and her research.
So you want to know what? Stop there.
Yeah.
Because the fact that we have to call out that, oh, it's not, you know, mother and son, it's like, all right, you have your day. This is what we're talking about right now because it's very important. You know what I mean? Like, we're constantly doing that in society where we're like, oh, okay, well, yeah, but like, what about that? And no, this is what we're talking about right now because we need to heal these wounds right now.
Right.
Those are separate. Do that in a different book. That's a different book. Okay. So if you're wondering about that, this is not what this is about.
I love it. And it's so true. And yeah, I mean, I think we've mentioned even as moms, right? We do this all the time where we're like, well, this is what I do, but like, I love my babies. It's not that I don't love them. I'm just really tired. It's like, you don't have to tell me that. I know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no. Okay.
I know. Let's see. There was another point I was going to make about that. Just, yeah, more on the modeling and the importance of making sure that you are as hard or as uncomfortable as it might be, that you need to do some of that work on your own if you want that to translate over to your daughter or to your children. Because if not, the things that she spends a lot of time talking about, how the things that are not said can sometimes be just as loud as the things that are said.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
And it's so hard because, considering my background, I can turn things on and off in a different way. Andrew and I have talked about this. Like, I am so much more aware if you have any kind of job where you are filtering for, especially for young people or for children, there's a different sense you have of being aware of what you say and what you do and how you do it. But for everybody else, it's not that way typically. And so it can be really hard to recognize these things. And it can be really hard to like pay attention to them and then wrap your head around the fact that you do them. Cause sometimes it's an issue of like, oh, I'll say something early on that I noticed that I needed to work on was that, again, that good girl thing, right? Like my go-to phrase for this one was, oh my gosh, you did such a good job. Oh my gosh, you're such a good girl. I see. It is morning time. Yeah, the sun is coming up, huh? Instead, I've been trying to say things like, you know, you are so strong and your body is so amazing. And I can see how hard you worked on that. And
actually, those are important. It's important.
So I think this might be a good place for us to end it here. And then we'll pose a lot of the things that she talks about in terms of specifics that you can do to try to battle some of this in the next episode. But we just kind of wanted to highlight what she claims as being, you know, a big part of the problem itself. She's nodding her head. She's saying, yep. We're just making it work, people. We're just making it work.
Yeah, that's a great place to stop.
This is, again, this is the real and raw. We're not perfect. Yeah. We're just doing what we can do.
It's all happening.
Oh my gosh. Well, I love you, friend. I can't wait to finish talking about this. And thank you guys for listening.
I'd love to
know your thoughts on this as well. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can't handle it. We're so glad you're here.
If you enjoyed listening, make sure you rate, review, and share with your friends.
Also, remember to hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts so the episodes automatically download when they drop on Wednesday mornings.
See you next week.